Lots of Saanich news to cover. Let's go out to the largest municipality in the capital region and talk to Mayor Dean Murdoch, who's on the line with us. Hello, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Ryan. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So we've got things to talk about. We've got the property taxes have been set. You won't have to pay for yard waste drop-off, apparently, at least not yet. And pop-up farm market produce stands are a thing. So we've got things to talk about here, Dean Murdoch.
We sure do, yeah.
I want to start with the property taxes, though, because municipalities all across the region are wrestling with this. Some municipalities facing astronomical property tax hikes and trying to wrestle them down. Now, Saanich has settled on, what is it, just shy of 8%? Is that the final number?
That's right. This year's budget increase is 7.93%.
And give me, I always struggle to put that into some kind of perspective. Do you have a sense of how much that actually is in dollars for an average house?
Yeah, it affects everybody a little bit differently depending on their assessed value, but we think that the average Saanich property taxpayer would add about $240 to the overall cost that they would have paid last year.
So that's the hit. And I mean, spread it over the year, maybe alone it's not huge, but we always see the property taxes go up by some amount on most years, so it does start to add up over time. Are you feeling like this is a big number?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's always the objective of mayor and council to try and push down that increase as much as possible to limit what ends up getting passed on in the tax bill, being cognizant that, you know, people are contending with sky-high costs for their housing, for groceries, for all of their costs of living. So the last thing we want to do is make life harder and more expensive for people. But we're also operating in the context of some pretty high costs to deliver services and provide infrastructure in the community. And so what we put together for 2024 is what I would consider to be a due diligence budget. This is council that's being mindful of the needs for infrastructure maintenance and replacement, that we've got some facility replacement projects that we're getting underway, and that we continue to provide high-quality services as well as looking after that infrastructure. We've also added more patrol officers to our police department. So all of that is all very much needed, but it comes with some cost, and that's what council settled on in its final budget deliberations last night.
That number, though, that can't be a sustainable thing to face every year. Is this like a one-off thing, and next year we're looking at less? Or, you know, why is it so big this year, and what are we looking at in the future?
Yeah, so this is one of successive years where we've seen a larger than normal increase, which I think is a reflection of the ongoing inflationary impacts, particularly in, you know, construction costs, concrete, steel, asphalt, all of the things that municipalities pay for when we're providing infrastructure. Those are major cost drivers on our budget. In fact, between public safety and infrastructure, those are our largest cost centers. So that drives the cost. Of course, we also have collective agreements that were negotiated against the backdrop of high cost of living. And so people certainly deserve a living wage, a wage that can support their families. But that builds in some inflationary factors as well to pay staff. So all of those things come to bear in budget making. And as much as we attempt to achieve some cost savings and deriving a greater amount of efficiency out of the programs we deliver, we have to be able to pay for those inflationary costs as well.
Is there hope that those inflationary pressures will ease for the next tax year and we won't see such a big hike?
Certainly, we're seeing that some of those higher construction costs are now starting to come down as demand in the marketplace is starting to ease. It's hard to predict exactly where things are going to go, but of course, you know, we also know that there's an ongoing list of assets and infrastructure that needs tending to, and so we'll continue to see those costs requiring our attention, but we're going to remain diligent in trying to keep that number as low as we can to reduce the impact on the tax bill.
One thing I wanted to just drill into a bit too is Swan Lake. A bunch of money in this budget for Swan Lake and the Christmas Hill Nature Sanctuary. What's that money for and what's that going to do?
Yeah, so there's a nonprofit society, the Swan Lake Christmas Hill Society Nature Sanctuary Society, which manages the sanctuary on behalf of the district. So the district owns those properties, but the society is responsible for the management of those properties. And so they charge us an administrative fee in order to do that, to cover their overhead. It's a nonprofit society, so they're not generating a lot of money out of doing that work, but they asked us for an increase in the fees to help cover some of their costs, which include maintenance and upkeep on the facilities that they use, as well as the programs that they offer as part of the sustainability efforts that they do on our behalf.
All right, very good. We're in the middle of a chat with the mayor of Saanich. Dean Murdoch is our guest, and thanks so much for holding on the line there through the break there.
Thank you, Ryan. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
All right, we're talking property taxes, but there was another thing that was discussed at Saanich Council this week that I'll need you to explain for me. So I guess there was some discussion about charging for yard waste drop-off, but that got put on hold for now. What's the story there?
Yeah, so this is part of a bigger project in terms of yard and garden waste and the organics that get collected at curbside. We have a very popular yard and garden waste drop-off program at the Saanich Operations Center, which we used to call the Municipal Public Works Yard. Which obviously during warmer months tends to attract a lot of users who have branches and yard clippings and things that they take to the municipal operations center, the Saanich Operations Center. That's a free service that's covered through your utility bill, and so residents who have that are able to drop that off without a charge. As part of a restructuring of the program and including introducing larger curbside green bins to take more of that garden waste at curbside, council directed staff to introduce a fee for the yard and garden waste drop-off. At this week's meeting, council reconsidered that and asked staff to proceed with the development of alternative options, including rolling out the larger bin for compost collection at curbside, but pressing pause on introducing that fee. So going forward this year, people will not be charged use that drop-off service, but we are going to be introducing the larger bins so people have the option to put more of their yard and garden waste in the bin rather than having to put it in a vehicle and taking it down to the yard.
And sorry, why did the why did the decision not to go through with the charges?
Well, there's a couple of things that are underway at the moment that we want to understand the impacts, sort of the strategic implications. One of them is the development of the biodiversity strategy in Saanich, which is looking at folks who have private properties that have a lot of large trees and are home to biodiversity in the community. And we recognize that there's an impact to those folks who are looking after the trees, doing the maintenance, that they're not able to put all of those tree trimmings and clippings into the big bin. That's going to require a larger vehicle to get that material out of there. So what we wanted to understand was the impact to the folks who are doing that work, tending to the biodiversity on their properties, and the cost that they may encounter by having to use this service, which is going to have a fee. So as we look at how we incentivize maintaining those that important biodiversity, we didn't want to create a disincentive for people who were doing the right thing by looking after it. So we're going to assess the impact on what that looks like, how we ensure that people can continue to look after those important natural systems without penalizing them with a fee.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's why the fee is no longer being discussed. If you are a Saanich gardener and you got a lot of yard waste, you will continue to be able to drop that off without a fee as this bigger plan gets put together. And sorry, I'm going to really test your knowledge here. What happens, like, once you've collected that stuff, what are you doing with it? I mean, you're making soil, I guess, in the end, but, like, where does that all happen?
Yeah, so the compost material that's collected at curbside is taken out of region to a processing facility where it's turned into fertilizer. So that material is taken from our yard and transported to a facility in Cowichan Valley where it's processed. And people can actually collect that fertilizer when it comes back into the region and use it on their gardens.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I like that. I like that it's that big cycle going around. One more story to run by you, talking to the mayor of Saanich, Dean Murdoch. One other thing that you were looking into at Saanich Council was this idea of pop-up farm stands. And I think this has been a discussion in Saanich for a while and, you know, what the rules were around them. If you put a farm stand at the end of your driveway. Is that allowed? What's the story? And I think there's been some progress here.
There has, actually. We're really excited about this. There's a couple of things going on. Due to zoning, which tells you what you're allowed to do on your property, anybody who wanted to legally have a small farm stand at the roadside would have to get what we call a temporary use permit, and that's a pretty onerous bureaucratic process. So council gave some direction in the last term under our food security plan to look at ways we could make this easier for people. So staff have come back with some recommendations that would mean we change the zone so it's a permitted use and people could do it with a business license, but they wouldn't have to pay a fee for that. So just making it easier to be able to sell veggies that you grow on your own property at the roadside. And along with that, we asked for a review of the zoning that applies to our parks and public spaces so that we could do pop-up farm markets or temporary farm markets. And so staff have now come back with some recommendations that's going to make that a lot easier too. So it'll mean we can animate the public spaces, including the municipal hall, where we could do a temporary farm market, have vendors come with their food and perhaps have some live music and really turn it into much more of a community activity that people can get together and enjoy while we're supporting our local food growers.
And what change makes that happen? So like, why couldn't you just like do a little farmer's market now? What change is allowing that to happen?
Yeah, so everything under the local government all happens through zoning, and that just tells you what you can do on the land. So we're going to be changing the zoning for our parks and our public spaces so that now you can do that, and all you'd need to do is get a permit, and you're off to the races.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's with the markets. And then for the farm stands, you were saying, it's a lot easier now. You don't have to go through as much bureaucracy. So if I got a small, garden and I'm making some pickles or something, I don't know, where I'm selling my flowers and I want to put a little stand at the end of my driveway, what do you have to do now under the new plan?
Yeah, so you'd come in, you'd be allowed to do it according to the zone on your property, and you can come in and get yourself a business license for that stand, and there's no fee to do that, and you can start selling your veggies at the roadside. Now, it's interesting you mentioned pickles, because this complicated the discussion. Anything that's considered processed actually has to be approved by Island Health.
So if that's gotcha.
Jams or salsa or pickles, you got to make sure Island Health says it's okay to do that.
Oh, so there's a whole other process, but that's out of your hands.
That's something we can't control. That's a health issue. We want to make sure that everything that gets sold at the roadside is healthy to eat.
Right. But if you are just like, I don't know, picking some tomatoes off of your plant and sticking them in a basket, that's okay.
That's exactly okay. Right. If it's just veggies, you can just have them right there at the stand.
Man, it is interesting how complicated some of this stuff could be. And I gather here again, Sanit's trying to make it a little easier for some of this to happen. But like you said, there's this health and safety stuff. There's some reason for some of these hoops just to make sure everybody's safe. But there you go.
That's right. Yeah, we just want to try and make it as easy as possible for people to be able to grow and sell their veggies.